41 degrees in Kalamazoo at 407, 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you on the show. You know, I'd love to continue on with the show, but Michael is throwing out that whole I want to interrupt the show thing again.
Yes, I am.
See, you're causing me nothing but trouble here. But
you know, sometimes I'm just like that. What can you say?
Yes, you are, and I've noticed.
Anyways, one traffic note to pass along. There is a car in the medium at 131 and Stadium Drive. Police are on the scene, so be cautious when driving through there, and don't gawk and cause another accident.
All right. I'll give you a pass since we're talking about a traffic note there.
Yes. So.
I just assumed it had something to do with you wanting to hear the sound of your voice on the air again. But
Well, yeah. I like to do that too, you know.
Well, in case you're just joining us, my name is Jeremy Lawrence, and I'm glad that you're here with us. We've been spending some time talking about the minimum wage, and the president brought it up because he was in Ann Arbor today talking about, or she was in Ann Arbor yesterday, I believe. Anyway, he was talking about minimum wage, how we need to increase it and that kind of thing. I wanted to spend some time on this because I think it's important to get past the whole thing of calls for compassion and calls for let's help those less fortunate. And please, by all means, let's do that. I'm not saying don't help the less fortunate, but I think there's different ways to do it than just say, all right, everybody that's making minimum wage, you get a raise. You know, I think, you know, and we had a caller earlier talk about, well, what if we eliminated the minimum wage? Well, you know, I hear you. I don't know that I'm necessarily for that idea. I don't think there's much to that. I don't think there's a whole lot of support for that at this point. Mm-hmm. But I think that what I do support is the idea of educating yourself on an issue. You know, there's a petition drive out there, the idea of raising the minimum wage in the state of Michigan to $10.10 an hour. And they'd actually said, well, we want to raise it to nine something, but then they got the memo from the president, and okay, now it's 10-10.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's people that are signing a petition out there to see if we can't get that on the ballot. It may end up on the ballot. It may not. We don't know. We don't know how quickly all that will come together. There have been some polling data that has said that there's support right along the lines of 60% for that. But I wonder to myself how much the support would still be there if you said, all right, if it meant costing jobs, if it meant increasing costs on practically everything, would you still support it? If you asked a question like that, I wonder what kind of an answer you would get. We had a guy that called in here at the end of the last hour that talked about, well, you got to have compassion on these people. Yeah, we do. We absolutely do. And I think, you know, there's ways to do that. There's ways to help people and say, all right, we want to be able to get you out of this situation. And there's ways to be able to get some training for that. There's training, you know, options that are in high school. There's options by going to college. And there's other options that we can look at. But I think the idea is, you know, people are not relegated to the job that pays the minimum wage. There's always that opportunity to say, you know what, there might be something better out there. So go look for it. Go see what's out there and see what you can find. As you might end up being surprised to find that, guess what? There's some things out there. Now, there's one person who texted in a while ago as we were talking about this. They said, I've only worked one minimum wage job in my life. All others, I had some training or education. They're suggesting that we spend more on education to help people move up in the world and work for it. Not get a free raise to do nothing more. Someone else said, I think it'd be interesting to see why the additional tax revenue would be, what it would be, I think, rather, with higher minimum wage versus the rate of inflation. Long as it works until election time, they said. So I mean, these are some of the comments that we've gotten. You can get your comments in, 803-73 if you'd like to text us. If you'd like to call, 382-4280. Or 877-382-4280 as we talk about this. You know, the president talked about it, so I figure, you know what? Let's spend some time chatting about it as well. want to say hello to John in Vicksburg, standing by on the line. Glad you're with us, John.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to make a point. If we raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour, that's about $440 a week, which is about $20,000 and change, maybe $21,000 a year, which mm-hmm. is barely above the poverty level, the federal poverty level for a single person. It's below the poverty level for a family of two, and it's way below the poverty level once you start adding two or three kids to it. If raising the minimum wage is a great idea to give people a living wage, we really need to do it. And let's not screw around. Let's raise the minimum wage to something like $25 an hour. That'd give us about $41,000 a year. Again, fuzzy math in my head. But now we're talking about a minimum wage that we can actually live on. Why is that not a good idea? I mean, if the idea is to give us a living wage, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you asking that seriously, or is there sarcasm there? I just want to double check.
It's a little bit of both. I mean, if we are serious about giving a little a minimum wage that's a living wage, mm-hmm. let's actually give a living wage. Let's not diddle around with $20,000 a year, because I tell you what, that's less than Social Security disability is, which I know personally.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're saying, hey, let's raise your minimum wage because you need a living wage, well, then let's do it. But if the answers then raise other problems, then maybe we ought to, you know, actually address what we're addressing, I guess, is my bigger point.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you make a good overall point there with the idea of addressing the problems. And I think it's something you haven't seen. I don't think you've seen Congress address it. You've not seen the president address it. It's all around these ideas. Well, let's do this. Let's do that instead of let's tackle the problem.
Right. And that's the biggest problem with politics. We don't actually fix the problem. We fix the distraction.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow.
Well, and I think ultimately this whole minimum wage thing is all about, I'll give you two words, election year.
Oh, absolutely. There's a reason we didn't hear this 8 years ago. I don't remember what Obama was hawking on 8 years ago, but I know minimum wage wasn't even in the picture.
Yeah, I think it was all that, hope and change and peace, love, and flowers, if I remember correctly. I don't know there was much beyond that.
Well, he had to start doing something once he got elected. I just don't remember what it was, and that may have just been the continuation of the tax breaks for businesses was called at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyhow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, John, I got to move on to some other callers. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right. We move on to Chris in Richland. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey. Can I give a shout out to one of my friends who's a new listener?
Okay.
Hey Mike Brundage. So anyhow. Sorry, Mike.
Okay.
Anyhow, 6 years ago, he's working on Obamacare, on the Affordable Health Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
He was making all the promises that was going to create 500,000 jobs and save people $2,500 and bend the cost curve down, which none of have quite worked out that way. But we're waiting. We're hoping still.
Well, he's still working on it. He keeps pushing back the limits on it and that kind of thing, because I guess it's not perfect,
No, and if you can continue to campaign against, what government has done and separate yourself from government, then, you have a perpetual campaign. You can just say, hey, those guys are screwing it up and this is what I want fixed. And so that brings us to minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a really good way to excite the youth, because mostly, as you pointed out, that's mostly who's getting unemployment, the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell everybody who's on the low range of skill level in the workforce, hey, we're going to give you a $2 raise, and you can do with that what you want. And what we don't, the first thing we've done is disconnected the value of work from wage. So, if you have a skill that's valuable, it's less valuable because the minimum wage is driving, now you know, the people who were sweeping floors or, you know, flipping burgers, those people are now worth more in the market. Well, there's only so much room, you know, if you got somebody with a set of skills like a mold maker.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to give those guys all an automatic $2 plus an hour raise
right. To
compensate. That wage range becomes more compressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we really, really, really need to go back to, and, you know, I just caught the tail end of that discussion where, you know, somebody said, you know, we need to get rid of the minimum wage. And I know a lot of, or I've read a lot of economists that have made that argument that minimum wage is job killing. You know, there's no reason to pay, and there's no reason to force somebody to pay somebody $10 an hour when, you know, there's places where at Walmart you make $20 an hour, and they're usually in places where, you know, the unemployment rate is below 3%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, workers are in high demand, and low-skilled people can earn that because they need those people to keep the doors open.
Mm-hmm.
But in a place like that, the high-skill workers are making $80 an hour, and so it's proportioned.
Well, and I think, you know, there's this idea that people on minimum wage that are making that this sliver of society that are doing this and trying to support a family on it, that they're just relegated to that kind of job. And the truth is, you know, it's wide open for them to be able to go out, find something that pays a little bit more and work there.
Well, but then you get that argument and the one caller made that, you know, it's not that easy to go out and find a job when you're squeaking by, you know, trying to make it on a minimum wage job. And I would argue that is true. But somehow, you know, when I was growing up, and I don't know, you know, we're in the same age group, my dad worked two jobs most of the time. He worked his career job, and then he worked a part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, I don't think, see that as a viable option. You know, you should only have to work 8 hours a day, and then, you know, with the other 16 hours a day, if you want to sleep or play games or go to the disco, whatever, that's your choice. And when you're in a bad situation, the only way you're going to get out of that bad situation is through hard work. That's, you know, digging yourself out of that hole.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means, you know, you go do something that pays even less than minimum wage because it's an economic opportunity, unless you're engaged in that activity, there's nothing else that's going to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not even if they raise it to $10 an hour, as your last caller pointed out. You're just taking somebody who's making, you know, $15,000 an hour, and now they're $15,000 a year, now they're going to make $20,000 a year. Well, that doesn't do anything significant to change your lot in life. That isn't going to afford you school. That isn't going to afford you a better zip code.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't going to put your kids into college. So you really have
to. Well, and if costs go up on things, that's not going to, you're not going to be able to afford anything more on that particular kind of money.
You might make the argument that you could, you know, go out to eat a little bit more, or you could, you know, maybe, you know, go to the movie a few more times.
You could make the argument, but at the same time, you know, if your big box retailers decide suddenly, all right, we got to pay for these people at 10-10, they're going to raise their prices on things, and we're back to square one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I got to run. I've got other people waiting on the line here, but thanks for your call today. I appreciate it. All right, so we move on to John, standing by in Hastings. Welcome, John. Glad you're with us.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. And I think maybe I could add to your philosophy on minimum wage. Maybe we could just leave the minimum wage where it's at and pass legislation that demands that all employers paying minimum wage are compelled to instruct people how to get food stamps. And that would compensate for the $10 an hour. You think that would work?
I think I'd rather see, it, on that kind of thing, I'd rather see a mandate where employers say, hey, here's how to look for a better job.
Really?
Absolutely, because I think when it comes down to it, if you're making minimum wage, you have the ability to step up and say, you know what? I can do better than this, and I'm going to go look for something.
A lot of those people, you know, I go to Burger King or McDonald's, and they're really not capable. I see one boy, he's picking up, cleaning up. He's got a bad arm. I'm sure he's born with that bad arm. And he's handicapped. And one of us, including you, me, we go out on the street, we could be handicapped 10 minutes.
Well, I mean, you're making up an issue that I don't think is a huge issue here. And well, the bottom line is that if you've got 0.8% of people over the age of 25 in the United States that are even making minimum wage, and well, of that, a majority that are not even trying to support a family on minimum wage, this is a very, very small sliver of people that we're trying to, quote, help.
You and I got pretty good health, probably, and I think I'd like to share some of my good wealth with people that are incapable.
And you are more than welcome to do so. There are charities everywhere that help people.
Oh, no. I do that, too, but that ain't enough.
So give more. So give more if it's not enough. But don't sit here and say that we all have to give up more just so people who are.
If you don't want to.
If the government comes along and says minimum wage increase, then guess what? If you're in business, you're going to have to pay people more, or you're going to have to go out of business.
No, you won't.
Oh, you won't. You won't. Okay.
Take math in school.
Well, and math is what we're basing this on.
If they raise the minimum wage, McDonald's are all going to stay in business, and Burger King,
and then
raise their prices.
There you go. There you go, John, right there. You said it. They're going to raise their prices, and guess what that's going to do to the budget of all these people that are making minimum wage?
And I'm going to drive into McDonald's to order a double burger anyway.
Well, good for you, but at the same time, if you're saying that I don't have to do that, if the government comes along and requires me to do that, then guess what? Yeah, I'm going to have to do that as a business owner.
I think you ought to be in front of me doing that.
Be in front of you doing what?
Going to Burger King and pay the extra fees so that these people can make a decent wage.
Well, and here's the thing. Here's the thing, okay, John? They're going to make the wage, but then they have to turn around and go to places like Walmart or go to a grocery store somewhere and pay more money for the stuff they need to be able to survive. You're giving them more money, but then you're taking it away from them because prices are going to go up on everything, and you admitted yourself that they are.
Well, Walmart, according to the news, they're already got classes going for their employees how to qualify their employees for food stamps.
Well, and it's sad if that's the case, but bottom line is you're talking
that?
About if it's the case, it's a sad thing, and I don't like to see that. But what I'd rather see is people have the idea in their head that, you know what, if I'm not making enough money, I can go out and look for something and make more money. Or I can start an online business. Really doesn't take that much money to start an online business and do something that way. The idea is working hard and getting ahead.
Well, you got to realize that all people don't have your mind thinking and they just won't do it.
Well, maybe they should, though.
A lot of their parents wish they would, but they're not that.
But it's not up to you and I to support them if they're not going to have the ability to pull themselves up and say, you know what, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to seize the American dream. That's not up to me to give them money just because they're not willing to do that.
It's up to you and I. We want to call ourselves Christians.
We got to go. Got a break. We're on top of it. Thanks, John. .428-590-WKZO, spending the afternoon here with Jeremy Lawrence. And we're going to continue on the phones. We've been talking about minimum wage. And next on the line is Steve from Kalamazoo. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I've waited a long time.
Well, we're glad we have you, and we're glad you waited so long.
Okay, anyway, your 0.8%, if that is right or close, you know, it's irrelevant, really, but... And the fact that you're saying that it's now election and that's got a lot to do with the minimum wage, I agree with that 100%. If the government is really worried about these people making $7 an hour, why don't they say anything from 10 down, no tax? No tax for them, no tax for their employer.
There you go. That might not be a bad idea, because think about what that would do for some of these small businesses.
Exactly. Nope. But see... Well, first off, it probably ain't never going to happen because the government wants those couple bucks.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But they're not. But nobody's ever mentioned that. See, it never comes up. That's the only reason I called. I think it's great.
All right. Well, Steve, I appreciate you staying on the line to tell us that.
Okay, thanks.
All right. And the program continues ahead. One thing we wanted to mention, too. The previous caller made mention at the end of his call talking about, if we're Christians, it's something we should do. Someone texted in this comment. I wanted to share it with you. Christianity is not an excuse for redistribution of wealth through government. That's an interesting comment there we wanted to share with you. You can get your comments to us by texting us, 803-73. You can also do it by calling us. And you could do so at 382-4280 or 877-382-4280, and you could be a part of the program today. We're going to continue to talk about this minimum wage thing. I think it's a matter of getting yourself educated on it. We're going to run the numbers. If you missed out earlier, I'll run the numbers again here so that we know exactly what we're talking about when we talk about an increase of the minimum wage. We'll also get to your phone calls for people that are on the line. We will get to you as well. Keep it right here. Jeremy Lawrence at 590 WKZO. Degrees, 437, 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you, talking about minimum wage increase. Should we do it? Shouldn't we do it? Had an awful lot of calls, 382-4280 and 877-382-4280. We're going to head to the phones right now and talk with Jim in Kalamazoo. Jim, thanks for waiting so long. You're on.
Hi, how you doing, Jeremy?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Driving down 94 there. I called you before on some other issues.
Okay.
But the minimum wage, here's the deal. They should look at providing education for these people to help them lift themselves up out. And that'd be better for them because they'd feel better. And like they've done something for themselves in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And then this no tax deal, that's a good idea when they're going through school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And because I had to pay, I went to school and college, and I had to pay, my own way. But I stuck my nose to the grindstone, and finally, my ship came in, and I was going,
Mm-hmm.
And but you got to make an effort for yourself and your life and your family's life to better yourself, And I think a lot of people are just, they lost hope because they're at a minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
And they can never make it out. And, but a little bit of trying, goes a long way. You know what I'm saying?
Well, absolutely. And, and I can tell it as somebody that's in charge of people, I can tell when there's somebody that has initiative and drive and they want to make something better of themselves. I mean, those people stand out to you. If you're going to do that, guess what? You're giving yourself an opportunity right there.
Right, right. And that's, I worked and went to school, and then I went to college, and I'm 54, and I run a farm.
Mm-hmm.
My father's old farm, and I drive a truck. And, I'm gone like 13 hours out of the day, but I still go to the farm and work.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't missed a day of work since 2009. I had two-way bypass surgery.
Wow.
Okay? And I got better. I lost weight, and I'm a hard runner, And these people that think that nothing's given to you,
mm-hmm.
We're not born with silver spoons in our mouth. And they got to realize that young in life. And if you teach them correctly, they'll grow up and get an education.
It all has
to do with parenting.
There you go.
And,
Jim, I hate to cut you off, but I do have somebody that's been waiting on the line for a while. Thanks for calling,
Jeremy,
in. I appreciate that. So.
Okay, say hello to Roger.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
All right. Head on over to another caller who's been waiting patiently. Chris, that's you. Thanks for waiting so long, and welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good, good. Well, I think it was kind of humorous, that guy throwing in religion and telling you that, you know, did you take math class? Clearly, he didn't take economics class. I mean, obviously, if you raise the minimum wage, the cost of living is going to go up. It's going to shrink the middle class more than Obama's already done.
Well, and it's the whole idea of cause and effect. It's like we've lost that somewhere along the way, that when something happens, there's usually a reaction to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like that caller just said, I mean, I was 18 years old, paid my way through college, worked full-time all the way through college, got done, 24 years old, bought a house, you know, got a good-paying job, so did my wife. You got to work for things in life. They're not handed to you, but that's a problem with young people. They all think everything's handed to them, especially my generation.
Well, and
it's
ridiculous. And I think there's a lot of people, particularly with the economy being what it has been, and, you know, and I could tell you, I've been in jobs in the recent years where, guess what? All of a sudden, I was out of a job, and it had to do with the economy. I mean, that shows you right there, you're not entitled to anything. You got to work hard to find it. You got to work hard to earn it. And you know, that's what it's all about. That's something that's just not communicated as well, I think.
Right. Well, and raising the minimum wage is just communicating that you don't, I mean, I just don't think that that's communicating the right message. Hmm. You know, I started out at $5.50 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not that old. You know, 10 years ago, I started out making $5.50 an hour,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm making well over that. And it's because I busted my butt.
My first job was $3.75 an hour. I can remember that.
So, and people just call in and say, oh, well, you know, I should basically be entitled to all these things and all this money, and that's just kind of the way our country's got. We're an entitled country.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have strong workers. But, you know, this whole entitlement idea and the fact that, oh, the minimum wage should be raised and we should get universal health care and all this other stuff. It's work hard, work for what you get, take care of your family, and it'll all fall into place for you.
Well, I mean, and I think, you know, the one thing that we've talked about, and, you know, the whole idea of compassion, and I don't want to discount that because I think, you know, for people that have made a better life for themselves, then there are avenues to exercise that compassion, I think, in the way that it should be. Because, I mean, how many good, great charities are there out there that help people every
day? Absolutely.
That's the kind of compassion you need to engage in,
not have your government do it for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I contribute to, you know, a lot of different charities that I agree with what they do.
Sure.
So I give them money.
Sure.
I don't think the federal government should dictate where my money goes, but they do. I mean, they already do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten worse over the last, you know, 6 years than it's ever been.
Absolutely.
And I'm 28 years old. I've been following politics since I was 18. I mean, it's not like I'm pretty new to the game, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out where we're going here.
No, definitely. Chris, you're one of the rare ones. I'm glad you're paying attention, and it sounds like you get involved in things. You keep up with the news, so, you know, hats off to you.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
All right.
And for those young listeners out there, go to work, go to school.
There you go.
Just as simple as that.
Good. Thanks, Chris. We move on now to Todd, who's standing by on the line. Todd, glad you're with us. Welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I was just like, I heard this thing on the news last night. This just happened to pop up, that the minimum wage right now, if you go back in time, is equivalent to 1968.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, as a social experiment, it'd be curious to put everybody on $10 an hour and see how people try and survive that kind of money. That's just barely over the federal poverty level wage.
Well, and here's the thing, Todd. I mean, you know, it sounds nice and all of that. Let's make people see if they can survive on it, but how many people actually do that? I mean, we get this picture from our leaders saying, oh, it's awful, there's so many people doing that, but there really aren't.
I didn't follow that.
Well, the idea is that, there's not a lot of people out there that are having to survive on minimum wage and try and, you know, make their way through the world, pay rent, pay for groceries, and, you know, pay for doctor's appointments for your kids and things like that. There's just not that many people out there that are attempting that.
Yeah, that's true. And well, a couple other things, you know, there's a lot of kids are staying home later in their young adulthood at home because they can't afford to rent a place. And it just, I'd like to see our leaders in Congress to try and live on $10 an hour. You know, it'd be just totally ridiculous.
Well, you know,
you can see them tear down a building, a Burger King, and put up a new one to remodel, which costs, you know, it's got to be millions. But then they squeal over $10 an hour.
All right. Well, Todd, thanks. I do have to get to some other callers here. Appreciate your call today. All right. It's 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. You can also text us at 80373 and be a part of the program as well as we head on over to Jeff from Richland. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing, Jeremy?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Good. Good.
You know, you came up with some percentages there. Now, I don't know. I just did some rough math. I think there's 310 million people in America now. And I'm assuming that 250 million of them are still working. So you kind of minimize that a little bit with your 0.8%, but that's 2 million people. So to say that that's a small percent, well, it might be a small percentage, but it's not a small number.
Okay. But here's the other part of it, though. If you look at that 0.8% of the people over 25, and that's what the number is, within that group, most of the workers are not working poor. They're not trying to support a family. Said that 63% of workers who earn less than $9.50 an hour are second or third earner in their family. 43% of those workers live in households that earn over $50,000 a year. So this argument that there are people that are out there trying to make their way on minimum wage jobs, there's just not that many of them that are attempting it.
Okay, so that's still... math isn't working real good now. 67,000, 68,000 people, 39 times, yeah, something like that. Still, you know, it's not a huge number, but I don't know. I hate to see you minimize that because there are people that are still struggling. And,
well, you know, and that's fine, but there are other ways to help people that are struggling. I mean, you know, we in America are compassionate people. And I think there's ways to reach out to people and you know, give them a hand up and say, you know what, here's how I did it. I'd like to be able to help you to be able to do it, too. And, you know, encourage people to work hard and try hard and get ahead. I mean, it's something that can still be done in this country.
Well, I agree with you there. But, you know, there's – I think a person gets to the point where they kind of throw in the towel. It's not, you know, but you get beat down long enough and pretty soon you start believing everything that everybody says.
Well, and that's just where, you know, you need compassionate people like, you know, people like you and I that can tell people, look, you're better than that. Let's get back at it. Let's lift you up and see where we can take you on this. So, Jeff, yeah. I got to run. I got a break coming up, but I definitely appreciate you taking part in the program today.
Thank you, Jeremy.
All right. We continue ahead with your comments as we talk about the minimum wage. Should we or shouldn't we increase it? Your phone calls continuing. It's 40 degrees in Kalamazoo. I tell you what, the winds are down, though, so it won't be quite as chilly out there. Yeah, you still have to put a coat on.
Yeah, I mean, come on, let's be smart here.
Yeah, and Michael, you'll still have to bundle up for your run a little bit later. I'm just making an assumption here. But
yeah.
But, yeah, you're here as part of the program. Jeremy Lawrence with you along. And we never did mention who you are, Michael. So, everyone, this is Michael Loudon.
Hello.
Okay, there we go. Best I can do for you. So, we've been talking about minimum wage, and you've been getting in with your calls and your comments through text. And we did have someone comment this way on the text. This was interesting. They said, as an employer, I could afford to have 10 high school kids work for me now. To remain competitive, I would have to hire 2 less. How is that helping kids get their first work experience and reference for their next job? And that's a good comment.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, a lot of the people that do make minimum wage are in that kind of a situation. It's your first job or your second job or something like that. You're just getting started. There's a lot of a good point there, definitely. Well, let's continue on the phones, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, as we talk to Travis in Richland. Travis, hi.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
Doing well.
Good, good. First off, I tend to think along similar lines to you on this topic. We employ people from a lot of different places in life, a lot of people that are starting jobs or starting over, and we pay a little over minimum wage, but below what they'd like to see it at. I can promise you it would squeeze us and it would mean fewer bodies at work for us. But my other interesting thought that I've had is a lot of people agree that maybe education instead of more money for the same amount of work is a better answer. And what if somewhere there was a tie-in where if employees were not being paid a certain amount of money, that I hate to say a tax or however it's set up, but maybe so an employer is responsible to provide further education for those people that they pay below, say, $10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Give opportunities for advance, push the education on the employer, make that their responsibility without having to eliminate those kind of jobs.
You know, the interesting thing, I've been watching reruns of Undercover Boss. You ever seen that program?
Absolutely.
And I love the program just basically for what it does. You get the CEO involved in some of the grunt work, so to speak. And it's mm-hmm. interesting to see how, a lot of these people feel downtrodden, but there's an awful lot of these companies that are saying, you know what, we got programs to help them. We've got programs and ways to lift them up and get our best employees and get them into our organization and keep them here. A lot of people don't know about it, and I think that's been the big key that I've seen on that. I'm only about two seasons in right now, but it's one of those programs that I dearly love because I think it shows that compassionate side of a lot of CEOs that you just don't see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Travis, I got to get to another phone call here, but I appreciate your call today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. We head over to Audrey in Portage. Hi, Audrey.
Good evening. Well, here's my take on the whole thing. We cannot afford to do it right now. I would like to know, what were the arguments made for the last time the minimum wage was raised? I guarantee you're going to find almost the identical same arguments.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
even if we raise the minimum wage to $10.10, guess what? It's still going to be a minimum wage job. That is not going to change. And the gentleman who called and said, well, everybody should be working on $10 an hour, that's called socialism. That has not worked. Look at Cuba. Look at Russia. Look at a lot of these Eastern Bloc countries where that did not work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's we're treading on dangerous water when we say, well, everybody should be even and everybody should be fair. That's called communism. So we got to be careful.
Well,
I like what you're saying as far as we need to give hand up. A college degree is not necessarily everything that it's chalked up to be like it was in the past.
Mm-hmm.
My two kids who... do struggle to find jobs and stuff, but they're doing okay. One went to a trade school. He's an auto tech. He's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing well. So I really struggle with this whole idea that everything should be fair and even. No, it's not.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think there's equal opportunity, but there's not that guarantee of equal outcome.
You got it.
All right. Audrey, thanks for your call today. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And I think that's the thing. There's been a lot of bottom line talk about, all right, what does this really mean? And the bottom line is you're talking about raising minimum wage to affect a small group of people. And then as a result, we're all going to have to deal with higher prices on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to take a poll today, if I just say, hey, call in if you like the idea of your milk being more expensive or deodorant or whatever, name whatever product it is, the phone lines would be very quiet.
They would be.
Because, let's face it, we all like to pay a little less for stuff.
Yeah, who wants higher prices on things?
I can tell you this. I mean, I lived in the South. Milk there was a lot more expensive. And believe me, when I saw milk that was cheaper, I was all over it, even if we didn't need it. It was like, that's cheap. I want that.
Stock up on it.
You just sit there and say, yeah, I mean, I don't want higher prices for things. Because it's going to mean more out of the budget for all of us. And especially for the people you're trying to help, it's going to be more out of the budget for them. All this talk about, well, we need to make it so that they can they can earn a living wage and do that. You know what? Help them. Reach out to them and say, how can I help you get more training so that more of that opportunity is available for you?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I help you? One of the things that, you know, I don't know that I agree with every last word that Dave Ramsey says, but he has an interesting idea when he says this. You know what? Go out and start a business. Mow people's lawns. Or you could make a lot of money this year off of shoveling people's sidewalks.
Yes.
You know, you could make a ton of money off of that. But it's the whole idea of, you know what? Opportunity doesn't always come knocking at your door. Sometimes you got to go knock the door down. And you got to be able to say, all right, you know what? We're going to do whatever we can do to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy.
No.
And it, particularly now, I mean, the economy stinks. And labor force participation, which shows how many of us out there are actually in the workforce, it's a lot lower than it has been since like the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows there is this need for more jobs. So raising the minimum wage and getting more people out of work is not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And raising prices on things is not the answer. I think the time has come to simply say, all right, yeah, training is a good thing, and let's make sure we get people training, but let's make sure that the jobs are here. And we're talking about those good jobs, not just, okay, oh, we're opening another Burger King on the corner. Yeah, that's great. But you know what? Let's open a factory on the corner.
Yeah, good factory job.
Let's find a way to open up an office where you put together a website, create an idea that will revolutionize an industry. These are things that we've missed out on. Innovation. Innovating and doing things in your wheelhouse, whatever that is going to be something that that will create more opportunity in your life and will inspire more people to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
You talk about innovation. I mean, Sir Richard Branson, whatever his political views are, there's a guy that innovates.
Yes.
There's a guy that jumps in and says, we're going to do something a little different here. Talk about some of these internet guys. You know, how many of them have come up with unique ideas that have revolutionized things? Facebook, eBay, for crying out loud.
Online gaming.
There you go. It's a whole wide world. Go out there and conquer it. That's all I can tell you. Got Tiger baseball coming up tomorrow, good Lord willing anyway.
Yes.
And we'll have a shortened program for you. So tell you what, have a great evening. We'll chat at you again tomorrow.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.